at least once or twice a month. And he's going to bring our first message tonight. Minister Robert Small has been in ministry here at Mount Olivet for maybe a couple of years now. He's going to bring our second message. Young man is doing a great job for the Lord. And then this one says Deacon Wade Davis. Amen. Amen. If you read the Bible, it says that when it talks about the qualifications of a preacher, then it says, and likewise. And if you continue to read, it talks about a deacon, and I believe it was Philip who preached down in Samaria as a deacon. But this is a deacon preacher. Amen. And when he comes tonight, you'll see why he's a deacon preacher. Amen. So put your hands together, say amen for Minister Geno Williams.
God bless everyone. I believe I have 70 minutes. Is that correct? 5 minutes? Okay. Well, 5 minutes. Well, 5 minutes, we better get started. The text will be coming from Hebrews 13th chapter, verse 8. And it says, Jesus, the same, yesterday and forevermore. Jesus, the same, yesterday and today, forevermore. This man they call Jesus that sits on the throne of God. Jesus in his glory. Jesus in his comfort zone. Jesus with the temperature just right. Jesus where the food is cooked to his delight. Jesus where the spirits of God, love, peace, and happiness is all around him. Jesus. He left. Jesus. He left his comfort zone. He left his glory. He left to come down to a place where a man will shake your hand and then take your life. He came down to a place where a woman would take her own child's life while still in the womb. He came down to a place where boys and girls, men and women are starving because of our lack of government. He came down. He came down. Why? Came down to clean up his church. Jesus. This man that they call Jesus that came down over 2,000 generations. First, he loves us. We are his church. I remember when a wine head was drunk out of his mind. But when he came near the place of worship, he would even cross the street. And I remember when women would come into the church, their hair covered, and some of them had it wrapped. Nowadays, nothing's covered. He came to clean up his church. He came to set things in order. My Lord Jesus, the one that died and bled for us, for all of us, he came to clean up his church. We need to get back to respecting the house of God. We need to understand who the Creator is. We need to know that the Creator, who created the heavens and the earth, is our God. We need to understand the one who gave us life has the power to take our life. We need to understand who opened the doors when they were shut. We need to understand who put food on our tables. We need to know who blessed us with jobs when they said that you couldn't have it, but he gave it to you anyway. We need to understand that. So when we come into the house of God, we need to come in here with a pure heart. We need to come in here loving each other first. We need to come in here understanding that there was a man that hung, bled, and died. And there was a man, first of all, he came to show us a way. The way, first of all, was love. He loved us. He loved us. And what do we do in return? We come back into his house. We come into his house. I remember when I first examined this and I looked at how we entered the house of God. And I just stopped. I said, one time, a man used to look like a man when he came through the doors. How do we treat our Lord and our Savior? He uses us. We are his instruments. But we come in to the house. Good God Almighty. We come in with ponytails. We come in with earrings, not in one ear, but both ears. We come in with our shirts wide open, pants sagging. This is how we treat our Lord and Savior. This is, my God, this is. And I remember when, like I said before, the wrapping of the hair, it showed honor unto God. And nowadays, just hear me now. Stay with me. Stay with me. They come in with painted on garments. Come in. And you just go to pulling and pulling. And I just wonder, I said, you know, they knew it was short when they came in here. And so, this is our God. So I'm here to tell you we need to get back in respecting the house of God. This man that they call Jesus, he blessed us. He died for us. He talked with us. He walked with us. He loved us. And he died for us before we even knew him. This man that they call Jesus, over 2,000 generations, died for me. This man that they call Jesus, that I come to learn to love, this man that they call Jesus, when I'm lonely in the midnight hour, he rocks me. This man that they call Jesus, who opened doors when nobody else would. This man that they call Jesus, my love, my Savior. This man that they call Jesus. God bless you all. Yes, amen. Sir.
Choir's going to come down at this time. Say amen. Thank Brother Gino. Certainly don't want to put any pressure on these ministers tonight who are speaking. But I do want them to know that Dr. Marvin McMichael, the president of Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School, who teaches pastors and teaches preaching, is here tonight, not to put any pressure on anybody, but the president of Colgate, teacher of preachers, is here tonight. Amen. Brother Wade is coming. Brother Rob is coming.
Amen. What a blessing it is to be here tonight on the last day of 2015, alive. God is good. Give God some praise in this house. Don't just sit there like he hasn't done anything for you this year. Give God some praise in this house. Amen. It's the last day. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, I ask that you increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. First, giving honor and praise to my Lord and Savior. It is an honor and a privilege to be here before you tonight. Tonight's scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. And it reads as follows. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. He gets back up. The title of this sermon tonight is Get Up. Over the past several days, I have examined and meditated on this scripture. Let's take a look at this scripture. The scripture says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. He or she gets back up. This leads me to believe in all our righteousness, we can find ourselves in a fallen state. I know some of you are asking yourselves, how can this be possible? How can I be righteous and find myself in a fallen state? However, I am reminded by Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. We must continue to examine ourselves as we walk this Christian journey to ensure we are walking our individual walks according to God's will. See, we cannot continue to wallow in our unrighteousness. We must get back up. You might ask yourselves, how do you get up? And the answer is simple. With God. God has a plan for all his children. And I am reassured of this by Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, which states, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is the reason a righteous man can get back up. After he has fallen several times. Because God has already made provisions for him or her. God has already developed a plan for you and me. And that plan is one size fits all. The plan is called Jesus. I said the plan is called Jesus. The one size fits all approach to salvation. See, God's desire is not to harm us, but for you and me to prosper in the Lord and to give us hope and a future. However, we must recognize when we have fallen and acknowledge our transgressions before the Lord. We must get up. Get up from adultery. Get up from fornication. Get up from adultery. Get up from backbiting. Get up from stealing. Get up from lying. Get up from sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And at some point in time, we will all experience a fall. But it is critical that we know how to get back up. Brothers and sisters, we cannot have fellowship with Christ while wallowing in our transgressions. If we say we do, we are lying to ourselves and the truth is not in us. We must confess our sins to God, as it is stated in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the first step in getting back up, asking for forgiveness so that we may walk in the light instead of the darkness of this world. We must deny ourselves and hold to the unchanging hand of God. The world is ever changing, but God is the same. And as he is, and he is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Going into 2016, we must go in on both feet with a clean slate and God on our side. Get up, church, and God will do the rest. God will for your life is that you prosper and that you have hope and a future. But how can you prosper in the Lord and have hope and a future in a fallen state? The answer is simple. You can't. Get up, church. We must do it good and not evil. We must love one another. We must grasp hold to the truth. We must study to show ourselves approved. We must test the Spirit by the Spirit. We must love, for God is love. We must trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Get up, church. In closing, aren't you glad you have a God that allowed you to make mistakes? A God that makes provisions for you and your family in spite of your shortcomings? Aren't you glad you have a God that loved you enough to send his only begotten son to die for your sins? And a Savior, Jesus Christ, that loved you enough to lay down his life so that you can have life eternal. Our church, they hung him high. I said, church, they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me and you, he died. But that's not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. He got up, church. I say, he got up, church. He got up. And if Jesus got up, you can get up. Get up, church. I say, get up, church. Give God some glory in this place. Give God some praise in this place. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a dynamic God. God is good. Amen.
I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, yes, he will. Come on, y'all know that one. Have y'all believed it? Get on your feet and sing. I know the Lord, he will make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Oh, he made a way for me and for you, yeah. I know the Lord. He will, see you through. Yes, he will. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, yes, he will, yeah. My God, my God, my God. Giving all God and all glory and honor to God, who's the head of our lives, to our pastor, to the 16 roster of pastors up here. Amen. The pastor done set me up again. Right? I mean, Rob done got so good. Oh, I did not want to have to come after Rob no more. And then he gonna tell me that Dr. McNichol is in the house. Now, I seen him, and my heart was already racing. I was like, oh, Lord. I ain't gonna never be able to get in Colgate. But on tonight, real quick, my scripture tonight is Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, I will lift up mine eyes, yeah, unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help. Come on. Say, my help. My help comes from the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious God, tonight we want to thank you for your ever-loving grace, for your ever-loving mercy. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to the crest of another year. I mean, I can see it clearly, Lord, when we were standing here last year, and I said, if the Lord wills, we'll be here again. And I guess you, Lord, you willed it on tonight. For every person under the sound of my voice, we thank you, God. We ask now, oh God, and thank you, God, for the word that was already delivered. And we ask that you might send us another word on tonight. Show up in this place, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Do your will, Lord. We thank you. We love you and we praise you. Amen. Now, I thought this was going to be real easy tonight because I done did it a couple of times, boy. But I think every time I get up here, I get more nervous and nervous and nervous. I mean, I think I need an Aaron. I feel like Moses. But anyway, I picked this scripture tonight because I was looking at this past year and all the tragedies that went on in our world. I mean, we got people strapping bombs to themselves. And if I might make a disclaimer right here, I said a people that's strapping bombs, not a religion. We got to get that right. It's not that Islamic religion. It's a people that made a choice to put a bomb around themselves and blow up people. As a matter of fact, I thank God for his infinite wisdom, because before me and my wife came down here tonight, it hit the news. There was a young man had guns and had tape, and he was going to go to this restaurant. He was going to go to this bar and he was going to take it over. And he was going to try to kill as many people as he can right here in Rochester, New York. As a matter of fact, my son stopped by the shop and they just wanted to come by, say, how you doing? And go on over here to Merchant's Grill. And do you know that the man was on his way to Merchant's Grill tonight? So I think that this scripture, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord has shown up and shown out tonight, because I could have been crying up here about my sons. I could have been over to that rest. It's right across the street from my place of business. It's right across the street from my house. So if anything would have went off, it would have affected my whole world. So I just want to give God praise and honor on tonight for being the infinite and most powerful God that he is. On tonight, I chose this scripture on tonight because for good reasons. First of all, it says that my help comes from the Lord. But it tells us that we must look to the hills. Now, when I read this, years over years over years, I'm looking at the hills for my help. But I want to tell you on tonight that we've been reading it wrong. It's really like a question. It's really a question. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes. And in lifting up your eyes, you're lifting up your eyes to heaven, looking for the Lord. But we're not to look in the hills, because in the hills there are dangers. In the hills there are foes. In the hills there are enemies. Your hill might be addiction. Your hill might be your faithlessness. Your hill might be your enemy. Your hill might be your addiction. Your hill might be the same thing that'll keep you from seeing God. We got not to look at the hill. We got to look past the hills, because God is coming. What I like about this psalm also is that it's a reminder that there is hope in God. We spend most of our time looking for my help from our friends. We spend most of our time looking for my help from our mates. We spend most of our time looking for my help at the casino. We spend time looking for our help in the numbers. We spend most of our time looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, somebody. Reverend Brooks said, if you can't say amen, then you got to say ouch. Amen. I say ouch myself. But what I like about this scripture is four things, and I'm going to get up out the way. One is that it says that God is all powerful. He who made the heavens and the earth, He who is omnipotent, he who is omnipotent, he that is everywhere, he that sees all, he that knows all, he is all powerful. So why would I look to my friends for help? I got to look to God. I got to go to the top dog. I need help where I know that my mama can't help me. I need help when I know that my daddy can't help me. I need help when I know that my baby can't help me. I got to get my help from the Lord. But one other thing that I like about him, not only is he a powerful God, he is a God that watches over us 24/7. Now, if you read a little further in Psalms 121, verse 3 and 4 tells us that he will watch over us and watch us that we might not stumble and fall. Now, we like stumble because Rob already said that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, yeah, we might stumble, but I'm so grateful that we serve a God that when we stumble, he's not going to let us fall where we can't get up. Not only is he a powerful God, not only is a God that watches over us, but he is a God that will protect us. Because if you read a little further in verse 5 and 6, he said that he'll be our shade. He'll be our protection on our right hand. And that means that God that watches all over us, that God that is powerful, he's got our back. And he's standing right beside us. He got us on the side. He got us in the back. He's leading us in the front. And I'm so glad I serve a God like that. But not only is he a powerful God, and not only is he a God that'll watch over you, not only is a God that will protect you, but he's a God, and this is the blessing point right here, that'll keep you from all evil. He's a God that'll keep you from and preserve your life. He's a God that will watch our coming, and he'll watch our going. And that's why I'm so glad that in times like these, when the graduation rate is at an all-time low, but the prison population is at an all-time high, I'm so glad I serve a God that in times like these, when people would put bombs on themselves and blow you and me up, my God is right there to protect us. I'm so glad that we serve a God that in times like these, when men loving men and women loving women in unnatural ways, I'm so glad that in times like these, when people are running to and fro like the devil trying to devour and destroy everything in their path, I'm so glad I serve a God that is able. I'm so glad that we serve a God that is high above all other gods. I'm talking about the big G-O-D and not the little G-O-D. I'm so glad that we serve Jehovah Rapha, the God that is powerful. I'm so glad that we serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. I'm so glad we serve Jehovah Rapha, that God who is healing. I'm so glad that I got an assurance policy, not the insurance policy. I'm glad you asked me, what does that mean? An insurance policy is the policy that you get from the world. An insurance policy is a policy that handles you after the fact. But I'm so glad I got the assurance policy. That's with the ASS. And with the insurance policy, I'm telling you, God's got you before the accident. God's got you in the midst of an accident, and he's got you after the accident. Are you ready for an insurance policy? One other thing, I'm so glad there's no co-payment with the insurance policy of God, because Jesus paid it all. And I'm so glad. Are you glad about it? Are you glad about it? You gotta look. Oh, look Don't you look at the hills. You gotta look to God and hold on. This time when you look, you gotta look with an eye of hope. You gotta look with an eye of faith. Cause with hope and faith, God will protect you. With hope and faith, God will watch over you. With hope and faith, God will keep you. I'm so glad we got a keeping God. I'm so glad we got a holy God. I'm so glad God saved my life. I remember when I used to be dead, but walking around. Do you know that you can be dead and just as alive as the next man? That's because you don't have God in your life. But I'm so glad he came and changed my life around. I'm so glad he came and showed me how I should live. I'm so glad he is watching over me day in and day out. That's what I like about God. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. He never gets tired. He's always on the job 24/7. How you glad about it? Are you glad about it? Say yes. 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 Are you glad about it? God is a giving God. God is a God of healing. God is a God that will help you if you need him. How many need the protection of the Lord? Man, I am so glad that we serve a God who's full of protection. Amen.
I see what's going on here. Yeah, I see what's going on here. These cats after my job. Amen. Come on and give our ministers another big hand. Amen. 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 Now, I don't know if you're familiar with these kind of services, but you're supposed to relax and enjoy these services. Amen. Amen. Everything is good tonight. Everything is good tonight. Relax, enjoy this service, and help these ministers. Ministers who continue to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. And tonight, in our second half, we have Reverend Brooks. Reverend Brooks is a graduate from Colgate and has been serving the Lord a long time in ministry. And then we have Reverend Brenda Spratlin. I think she's a graduate from Liberty University. She's been serving God a long time, started ministry here at Mount Olivet. And then our final preacher tonight is really our newest addition in terms of membership here at Mount Olivet, is the Reverend Petrina Freeman, who is a graduate from Colgate as well. Amen. So Dr. McMichael, we have three Colgate graduates here in this pulpit tonight. Any other Colgate graduates here tonight? Colgate graduates. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Raise your hand high so the president will know that you're in this house tonight. Anybody on this side, Colgate? Amen. All right, so would you put your hands together for Minister Reverend Mary Brooks? Amen.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come at this preaching time, O God. Help me to decrease that you might increase. Help me, O God, to say nothing or do anything that be disturbing to you, O God. But help everything to be uplifting to your people. Help sinners to be convicted, O God, and saints be upbuilding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture for this afternoon will come from James 1, 2, and 3. And it reads, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Perseverance in a storm. Have you ever been in a storm? One day a farmer donkey fell into a well. The animal cried for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided the animal was old and the well needed to be covered anyway. Well, it just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. Well, the farmer invited all his neighbors to come over and help him. Well, they all grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. The donkey's cry became louder and louder. As he realized what was happening, then there was a silence. Yeah. The farmer looked down in the well, and he was surprised at what he saw. Well, with every shovel of dirt that hit his back, the donkey would shake it off and take a step up. Yeah. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and trotted off. The moral of the story is life is going to shovel dirt on you, but all kinds of dirt. The trick to getting out of the well is to shake it off and take a step up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone. We can get out of the deepest well or the darkest storm by not stopping and never giving up. Christ came. He walked to Calvary. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. Yeah. He's now sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Yeah. One day he's coming to retrieve his own. Yeah. Oh, the word said the trumpet will sound, the clouds will depart, and the dead in Christ shall rise. If we are then steadfast, unmovable, prayerful, and faithful, we will receive a great reward. Yeah. Storms will come in. Storms will come. Storms will come. And someone said just a while back that we are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed for a storm. We are storm survivors, I tell you. But the world will toss you to and fro. But we have an anchor that is steadfast and sure. James says, count it all joy when you face trials. Apostle Peter says, be glad, rejoice, because these trials make your partners with Christ in his sufferings. Sometimes God has to let us know that he's in charge of the water. If you don't believe it, in charge of the water, ask Moses. Won't God make the water stand back on both sides? Ask the newlyweds at Canaan. Won't the Lord turn water into wine? Ask the woman at the well, won't Jesus give you living water today? We have a reason to be hopeful today. We have a reason to stand in the storms when life is raging. Merciful God. Oh, the merciful God, the Lord knows our circumstances and feels compassion for our pain and struggle. Oh, he's an omnipotent God. He's an omnipresent God. We are never out of God's reach because he's everywhere. We serve a gracious God. The Lord's grace toward us doesn't mean we've done something to deserve it. He knows we cannot be perfect, but he has promised to forgive and cleanse us when we confess our sins. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin trying breakings, trying to conquer my soul, telling me still to fight on. I've heard the words of Jesus say, telling me still to fight on. He promised, never to leave me. Never, never, oh, never alone. I don't know about you, but in 2015, I've had some dirt put upon me. I've had some dirt of health. I've had some financial trouble. I've had some family
trouble, but I shook it off, shook it off, shook it off. For I promise, he's promised, he's promised, he's promised, never, never, never to leave me alone.
My Lord, my Lord. Come on now, Pastor Harvey's vision has us all here preaching our hearts out tonight. Come on now, let us see if you've been blessed already. Let's celebrate God, amen? Let's give God some praise for the man that had the vision to put us up here today. Shaking in our boots, feeling a little nervous, but knowing that God can and will carry us on through. Amen? Now, I know that you've been blessed already. Because the brothers started out telling you all about what it is that Jesus can do. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one of the brothers said to get up. And the other one said, I will lift up mine eyes. And my sister just said, shake it off. And I've come today just to tell you to persevere. My Lord, the word today comes from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us go to the word. Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That means let's discard sinning and worldly temptations that weigh us down, that holds us back. Yeah. The scripture goes on to say, and let us run with perseverance, oh, yeah, the race marked out for us, oh, yeah, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Yeah. He's the pioneer and perfecter, yeah, of our faith. Yeah. My Lord, somebody say, run with perseverance. Eyes on Jesus. Many of us, many of us enjoy sports. Some enjoy football and some basketball and some track and field or one of the numerous sporting events. Now, there was a time when the Detroit Motor City Bad Boys dominated with back-to-back NBA championships. I must not have any Detroiters out there because that would have certainly got a cheer. That's when basketball was my favorite sports because I love watching those bad boys be bad. But over the past 5 years, for personal reasons, track and field has become a favorite sport of mine. You see, track athletes are lean, mean running machines. They train for hours almost every day. They eat healthy. They drink plenty of water and they get adequate rest to run their peak times come race day. And they always have a coach that directs their training and keeps them on point and helps them to achieve their maximal performance. And sometimes they even set new records like those that were set this year in the 500 and another one set in the USA medley. That's why track has become one of my favorite sports. Amen? Now, needless to say, I like the fact that when I read my Bible, I don't know what you like when you read your Bible, because I know you read it. But when I read my Bible, I like the fact that the author of Hebrews compares the Christian life to a race. Mind you, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 200-meter. It's not even a 400-meter. It's a marathon. And I'm telling you right now, sisters and brothers, I tell you, living the Christian life is a marathon. it's a marathon, you see, a long distance of 26 miles. Yeah. You keep running and running to get to 26, my Lord. And I'm telling you this now. Can't everybody get out there and run a marathon? Oh, you can run to the back of the church, maybe. But not everybody can run a marathon. It takes a strong heart. It takes a determined mind. And it takes an upright spirit, a spirit committed to Jesus. And the more we commit, commune, and fellowship with Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit indwells in us, fills us up from the top down to the bottom, leads, guides, and directs us so that like the unencumbered track runner who trains so diligently, we can achieve maximal performance as a Christian. Amen. We can say like Paul in Acts 20 and 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. Can you say you've done what the Lord has asked you to do in 2015? My Lord, and in better than having a coach, we have the Almighty God helping us to run on to victory, knowing that the race is not given to the swift, but those that endure to the end, those that endure and receive an eternal crown. You see, being a Christian gives you an all-powerful Savior that can fortify you. He can help build your endurance. He will give you the power that you need to stay in the race, to never give up, and you won't ever have to quit. You see, God is helping us to run on and see what the end is going to be. Let's remember that, because when the course is most grueling, Satan attacks, trials come, hardships arise. That's when those running are tempted on every hand, tempted to give up, tempted to pull up in pain, fall by the wayside, tempted to drop out, to sideline with an injury, to sit down and to quit. You see, others not only passing you by on the racetrack, but those who are lapping at your heels. As we used to say when I was a kid, they smoked you. They blew by you like you were standing still. They left you in the dust. But I've come to tell somebody, this last day of 2015, as we set our minds to 2016, run with perseverance, steadfast, unwavering, despite difficulties, challenges, or delays in achieving success. Run on with Jesus. Is there anybody here that knows you got to have Jesus to stay in the Christian race? My Lord, you got to have Jesus, because if you don't have Jesus, you're gonna fall by the wayside. But if you have Jesus, you can run up against discouragement, but you're still gonna make it. You can run up against health problems, but you're still gonna make it. You can lose your loved ones, but you're still gonna make it. You might lose your job, but you're still gonna make it. Lose your boyfriend, your girlfriend, but you're still gonna make it. Trust in the Lord. Run with perseverance. Keep your hand in God's hand. Keep your eyes on Jesus and run. Don't ever quit. Is there anybody that feel like running? Is there anybody want to run on out? 2015, we going to run on out. 2015, we going to run for Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Somebody got to feel like running because he brought you through another year. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. My Lord, my Lord. Run with perseverance. Don't ever give up. And don't ever quit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's all right to praise him, saints. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My God. My God. My God. Yeah. I want to thank my pastor for encouraging me to continue to do what God called me to do. I want to thank my brothers and sisters sitting here for your wonderful words and for letting God use you. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to break open your holy word. God, we ask that you be in our midst, that you guide my thoughts, that you hover over my words. God, hide your daughter behind the cross of Calvary so that the glory of your son might be revealed to these, your people. Give us information for our heads, inspiration for our hearts, and an impartation of the Holy Spirit upon our hands for the work of the ministry. And in all these things, we'll be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our text today comes from the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, the 28th and the 29th verse. And the word of God reads, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?'" God wants us to be blessed. He wants the best for each and every one of us. He wants us to have a bountiful new year. He longs for us to have a better life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, the Lord wants you and me to live and not die. That's why God only gives good gifts to his children. And one of these good gifts that God is so longing to give us and place in us that it will spring up is living water. The Lord desires to put deep within you and deep within me a mighty river of life that will refresh, renew, and restore us nonstop. He wants to give us a river of life that never runs out. It never runs low, and it never runs late. But only one person stands in the way of this being a reality on a daily basis. That one person, it ain't the devil. That one person, it ain't even a demon. That one person is not a boss or a coworker. For the young people, it's not a childhood bully. And for the adults, it's not the worst enemy. No, that one person that is standing in the way of us receiving and having overflowing, life-giving water, well, is us. Did you hear me? It's us. The enemy is me. The enemy is you. The enemy, as my grandmother would say, the enemy is in you. The enemy isn't me. It's us. In particular, it's our inability to release some things. It's our problem with not letting some things loose in our love. It is our ability of not letting stuff go. That's the real problem. But here is the beauty of God and how he works all things for good in our lives. God will meet you. God will meet me right where we are. Jesus is waiting at the well of our needs in order to quench our thirst. But first, you and I have got to let some stuff go. And we got to let God have his way. I want to talk to you tonight from the subject, let go and let God. Let go and let God. I think going into this new year, it's appropriate for us to hear this message about letting go. I think it's appropriate that God has decided for this time and this season, with everything that's going on in the world, that he will highlight for us in this text today, a woman who knew how to let go and let God. Here in John 4, we encounter a woman who comes to draw water alone in the heat of the day. It's about noon when she gets to the water. She gets there expecting to drop down her water pot into the water. And then she sees a man. See, you have to understand that in midday, in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, there should have been no one at the well. But there, sitting at the well of water, is the living water of life. And Jesus says to her, give me a drink. Beloved, you have to let go of your water pot for God's living water. When God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. So he already knew what she was thinking of doing. See, the water pot is the excuses that we make to God when he encounters us. Now, I don't know about you. Hers was, you a Samaritan. I'm a Samaritan. You a Jew. We don't have dialogue, but we all have excuses. I was born out of wedlock. Jesus, I you can't use me as a preacher. That's a water pot. Lord, I was born poor. I can't give. I can't give to the church. That's a water pot. Lord, my mom was addicted to drugs and I have learning disabilities. I can't go to college. Beloved, that's a water pot. And if you want to be blessed in 2016, if you want to see the salvation of the Lord move on your behalf, you're going to have to let it go and drop your water pot. Glory to God. Thirst is a common thing. We all experience thirst. Rich, poor, young, old, sick, healthy. We all get thirsty sometimes, some more than others. This woman was so thirsty that she came to the well in the middle of the day. Now, preachers, I know that the theologians say that the reason that she comes is because she has been married 5 times and she wants to avoid the shame that and the scorn of other women talking about her. I know that it's possible that she comes to this well because she's living with another man and he's not her husband. I understand all of that, but the reality is she's thirsty. She's out of water. Oh, beloved, what are you thirsting for today? What are you in need of God to do in your life today? This woman needed living water. She was living in shame and in abuse of the town. She needed deliverance. But when she got to the well, she met a man that told her everything about herself. And he said, I have living water. I have the answer to your prayers. I am the answer to your prayers. Living water is available. I remember when I was studying this, a commercial that used to have Ray Charles, and he used to talk about, was it Pepsi or Coke? And he said, you got the right one, baby? No, Ray, I'm sorry. Jesus, that's the right one. He can take care of everything I need. All I have to do is drop my water pot. Not only do you have to let go and drop your water pot for living water, you gotta let go of your past wounds for God's healing. The text tells us that as they are dialoguing, Jesus offers her living water. And she says that she wants it. But she doesn't understand that the living water that he's offering is not physical, but spiritual water. So she says, sir, give me this water that I might not draw again. So Jesus, you know, we can avoid discomforting situations, but Jesus has a way of bringing us right back square in the middle of where we need to be to get what he knows we need. And he says to her, go get your husband. She said, go get my husband. I don't have a husband. Many of us come to church and we hear God talking to us in the sermon and we say, mm-mm, not me. Mm-mm, no way. But here she hears God speaking directly to her wounded area of her heart. And without hesitation, she says, I have no husband. If you do not let God have your area of pain, your area of brokenness, he cannot use you. He cannot heal you. It is a prerequisite that you give it to God. God is a gentleman. I love God for that. He has given us free will. And although he wants to heal me, I got to want to be healed. What did he say to the man by the pool? He said, do you want to be healed? And today God is saying, do you want to be healed? You got to get out the way and let go and let God, and he will make a way. He will make a way. I stopped by to remind you that if you're going into 2006 and you want to see the blessings of God, you gotta let go of your pain, let go of your past, let go of your problems, and let God have his way in your life. Say yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Tell your neighbor, let go. And let God. Lewis, give me just a half a cloth. Let go, let God. Let go, let go.
Soon as I stop wondering, worrying how the story ends, when I let go and I let God, let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, when I let go and I let God have his way.
Can you make your way to the altar at this time?
I couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on my mind. Praying, Lord, help me, please. Peace I could not find. But then I kneeled down to pray. Praying, help me, please. God said you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
Soon as I stop worrying, wondering how the story ends, when I let go and I let God, let God have his way, that's when things start happening. And I stop looking at back then. I let go and I let God have his way.
Just let go.
God our Father.
Let God.
Thank you, Lord.
Let go.
Let go. Let God.
Thank you, Lord. In this last minute of 2015, God, we take this moment to let it go. We let it go, Lord. And God, we ask that you have your way.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way in our worship.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way in our walk.
Yes.
Have your way in our way.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way in your word tonight.
Yes, Lord.
God, we take this last minute to tell you thank you, sir. For what you've done for us in 2015. God, we take this last minute to say thank you, Lord. You brought us through ups and downs. You brought us through dangers seen and unseen. You brought us through hills and mountains. And God, we come here tonight to say you brought us through tears and pain. But we come tonight to let it go. We come tonight to let it go and ask you tonight to have your way. In these last 30 seconds of 2015, God, have your way. In case we didn't praise you in 2015, in these last 15 seconds of 2015, we dare not let it go without telling you thank you this year. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you kept us. Thank you for how you preserved us. Thank you for how you walked with us. Thank you for how you held our hand. Thank you for how you held us up. Thank you for how you kept us together. Thank you for because you never left us. Thank you for being by our side.
Thank you for being there, Lord. And now, Lord, we walk into 2016 telling you thank you, sir, for letting us see a brand new year. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God, we thank you. It's a new year, and we let it go. It's a new year, and we say thank you. It's a new year, and we rejoice in it. It's a new year, and we're glad about it. Let go. Let go.
Let go.
Let go.
And let God.
And let God.
You should just let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
He will hear your mind.
Let go.
He will touch your body.
Let God.
You should just let go.
Let go.
And let God.
Oh.
And on the first day of 2016, at 12:01 a.m.,
yes,
we find ourselves in the house of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In our right mind.
Yeah.
Some of us, it looked like we wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
But here we are. This bread represents his body. This wine represents his blood. Jesus said, as often as you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you show the remembrance of suffering and death until he come again. Eat ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. And then let go.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
Good night, everybody.
Let go.
Good night, everybody.
Let God.
Good night, everybody.
Let go.
Oh.
Let go.
Oh. God bless you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. Go home tonight in peace. God bless you. Good night. Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Let's